In preparing for the service this morning, I discovered that I had written down two different topics. One was, where in the world are we going? And the other is, what in the world are we doing? So rather than choosing between the two, I realized that both of those questions I wanted to address. And so here we go. Earlier, we sang that song, that lovely song, Whoa, Yeah, Yeah. The words, heaven knows where we are going. Heaven knows where, how we will get there. When I sing those words, the thing that I am thinking is that I don't know where we're going, and I don't know how we're getting there. But in that song, there is a tremendous line of hope and faith in those words. And I experience Beacon as having a lot of that hope and faith. And you know what? I do know where we're going. I do. Hang on. It's coming. It's coming. I'm very clear about where we're going. For my answer, I steal some words from that reading by James Luther Adams. He says, we are a pilgrim church on adventure. It was in the story to the children as well. That's right, a pilgrim church on adventure. We may not know where we are going or even how, but we will get there. And as the wise Taoist Lao Tzu said about 2,500 years ago, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with that first step. And I'd like to start by breaking down that sentence and looking at what it means. The whole sentence reads, the Church of the Spirit is a pilgrim church on adventure. Church of the Spirit, what does that mean? Now, he's not saying Church of Jesus or the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. He uses the words Church of the Spirit. And Spirit, for me, is connected to breath, to inspiration. It inspires the body to life. Spirit is the thing that separates a living body from a corpse. And usually, and for our needs this morning, it means, it implies intelligence, consciousness, and awareness. So, I suggest that our Church of the Spirit means a church of inspiration, of intelligence, of awareness that we freely join. I like this meeting, and I'm honored to be among you, people who gather for and to share inspiration and intelligence and awareness. And the next part of the line is, the Church of the Spirit is a pilgrim church. Pilgrim. Pilgrim is one who goes on a pilgrimage or a journey. A pilgrim church is a group of people who go on a pilgrimage together, go on a journey together with inspiration and intelligence and awareness. Now, there's lots of kinds of pilgrimages. There's cultural pilgrimages, like putting your kids in the car and driving down to Disneyland is a cultural pilgrimage for some families. I did not do that with my children, but when I was a child, my parents did that, and I remember a moment of being on the submarine, and apparently, if you could see out the window, there were mermaids, and it was a magical but very frustrating time because everybody else seemed to see these mermaids, but I couldn't see them. But everybody else believed that there were mermaids there. There's a pilgrimage in the summer for those that like this, going down to Wreck Beach and worshiping the water and the sun and nature in naked beauty. There are religious pilgrimages. In the Muslim tradition, one of the five pillars of Islam is that a good Muslim will take a pilgrimage to the city of Mecca once in their lifetime. There they will pray at the Hajj, apparently the place where Muhammad heard the voice of God and Abraham. It goes back a long way. Now that is a very, 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 very holy pilgrimage, a journey of great reverence and spiritual making. For the Catholic, there is the walking pilgrimage of the Camino in Spain. Has anybody here done that? Jane. Okay, fantastic. Did you know that in 2010, over a quarter of a million people walked the Camino. Now, I'm pretty sure they didn't walk the whole 1,000 kilometers, but that's a lot of people on pilgrimage. And that's one pilgrimage one day I'd like to take. Some people take it for just the sheer challenge of it, others for the exercise, others for an opportunity to really get away from the secular world and into nature, and others add to that going deeper and knowing God. I think walking those narrow paths for 27 kilometers a day for a month or more allows for plenty of time for that deep contemplation. Now, our Pilgrim Church of Inspiration, Intelligence, and Awareness is leading us on an adventure. How great is that? Don't you love adventures? I do. I ask you to remember that story by Jumping Mouse. About Jumping Mouse, that little mouse. Now, that is the classic adventure story. Jumping Mouse hears the call and responds. He hears that roaring in his ears, doesn't know where it comes from, and some part of him is lured towards that roaring in his ears. So he leaves home, everything that is routine, everything that he has ever known, to follow, to find out, to satisfy his curiosity of where this roaring comes from. He meets friends that help him, allies, you could say, on this adventure. Now, these friends who help him, they are just simply doing the things that they do. But the thing that they do is exactly the kind of help that he needs. I think of Beacon. We'll come back to that. Eventually, Jumping Mouse gets to encounter the sacred mountain and is transformed by the journey. I think that, if you'll allow me, I think that Beacon is a little like Jumping Mouse. You've heard the call to adventure. And sometime last year, you took that risk of moving forward. You set your sights on ministry and growth. You brought me on board to help support and guide the process. And now what? What is your mountaintop? I really want to know. I see passionate, caring people, people who are committed to keeping this community going, who work really, really hard. I mean, some of you, it's like a full-time commitment to this community. I'm humbled by that commitment, and I want to serve you well. So I will be asking you, what is your sacred mountain? What do you think is the sacred mountain that Beacon is heading towards on this adventure? What is luring you? What is the roar that you hear? Now, I'm told that Beacon wants community building and growth, and I'm completely on board with that. But to what end? To exist, obviously. You want to exist. For what? Possibilities. Just to get our conversation going. To be a voice in presence of liberal faith. To be a voice or presence of liberal faith in this community. To be a prophetic voice for social change, for justice and equity in our community and the world. To be healers of the brokenness of this world and starting with ourselves. To be lovers and caregivers, nourishers to this intergenerational community. And what else? This is where the imagination can take off with intelligence and inspiration and awareness. I think this is a good year, this anniversary year, to dig deep and to build a vision that will sustain you for another 30 years. There's a lot of good going on here. We come together to delve into and explore the deepest and most profound existential, philosophical, ethical, and spiritual questions that we have. It is here in this liberal religious community where we do that, in a spirit of inquiry and a spirit of respect and curiosity and, frankly, awe for the variety and nuances of answers that we find. To me, this is a joyous endeavor and a radically bold endeavor, because where else are you going to find a diverse group of people who are committed to this kind of adventure? I think it's rare in this big, wide world. So there's some pressure of necessity that we get clear, because the world needs us to do that. Lastly, what I want to share with you is the idea of how we are traveling together on this adventure. Unitarians are very famous for their individuality. We know this. Have you heard this joke? It's said that when three Unitarians are together, among them, on any subject, there are at least four opinions. But we support each other, right? So have you heard this one? Unitarians walk hand in hand, which is why they don't see eye to eye. We do. We take care of ourselves very well. My final joke. Why did the Unitarian cross the road? To support the chicken in his search for his own path. There you go. We've got it figured out. We knew who we are and where we're going and why. In 1648, the newly arrived immigrants from England chose to set up their churches in Massachusetts in a system that allowed them to walk together in love. They knew that that would not be easy. So they created something called the Cambridge Platform, which was a document that outlined how they would govern themselves, how they would communicate, how they would choose their ministers, basically how to live, for them, a Christian life as close to what Jesus intended, minus all that stuff they had left back in England, the interfering institutional church, that they didn't want dictating to them how to be good Christians. They were attempting to create a structure that helped them to live that second commandment, probably the one that I think is the most important, which is love thy neighbor as thyself. It is that document that inspires our free congregational communities today. Love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the bedrock that we stand on, the bedrock of how we organize ourselves, govern ourselves, the bedrock of this and every other Unitarian Universalist community. To walk together in love. And that is how we are going to do this journey. As a church of the Spirit, a pilgrim church on an adventure, how do we walk together in love? Well, the Cambridge Platform had lots of rules to protect them. But here, it's a little bit simpler. I want to say that we're going to answer this through shared ministry. Shared ministry is a philosophy of congregational life that places the responsibility of ministry in every single person's hands, including children. It comes in part from the words of James Luther Adams that I read earlier. Just to remind you, I call that church free which, in covenant with the divine community forming power, brings the individual, even the unacceptable, into caring, trusting fellowship that protects and nourishes his or her integrity and spiritual freedom. Its goal is the prophethood and the priesthood of all believers, the one for the liberty of prophesying and the other for the ministry of healing. Okay? So the prophethood of and priesthood of all believers is a very... you might get tripped up on the words. They might be trigger words for you. But for him, what he's saying is that we each have the integrity and the responsibility at being part of this community to minister to each other. And it is the theological foundation of a liberal shared ministry. It means we each have a part to play. One could even say that we have a responsibility to be prophets for our community, which means that we are unafraid to responsibly speak from our hearts when we see our community shifting away from its principles. The integrity of this beloved community depends on each one of us doing that. We are also priests or ministers for each other, meaning each one of us has the responsibility to offer our members the healing that we need. And one more piece. We have the responsibility to ask for or at least receive the healing balm offered by others. On September 1st, the board and the chairpersons of committees at Beacon got together for a day of reflection and conversation in order to prepare for the coming year. In the afternoon, I did an exercise where I had each person write their name on a piece of paper at the top. And then I had everyone pass that paper with their name on it around the circle. And each person in the group wrote down under that person's name something that they considered to be the ministry of that person. What did that person give, offer, contribute, gift to this community? And it eventually went all the way around and came back to the originator with the name on the top of the paper. So you can imagine if someone did that for you. And I don't think you would be surprised to hear that when people receive back their papers and read what others had written to them about how others experienced their ministry to this community, it was a deeply moving experience. With some surprises, of course, some affirmations, but deeply moving. You see, many of you just show up here and do your thing, and you often don't think in terms of, this is my ministry. Putting the chairs out in is a ministry to Beacon. Making the coffee, teaching the children is a ministry. It's an offering. It's a serving of community. And it's an honoring of the vision of walking together in love. And many of you probably don't realize that it's the things that you do unconsciously. The smile at the door. The checking in with people who may have not come on a Sunday morning. That is what builds and nourishes community, and that is serving Beacon. I mean, has anyone here received a phone call, an email, a warm handshake, a cup of coffee from another person in Beacon? Okay, you've been receiving ministry. How many of you have offered a ride to someone, a meal, a book, set up a group, printed the order of service, sung in the choir? Thank you. You have been offering ministry to this community. Do you see that doing ministry, giving of yourself, receiving the gifts of others, are not just tasks, they're not jobs. If you shift the meaning, if you shift the intention, the vision that holds that action, we become a priesthood of all believers. The point here is, I think the piece that we forget is that when we are in need, being open to receive the ministry of others, their gifts, is the most important, one of the most important things for building this community. But in order to do that, you have to let people know. If you don't tell people it's your birthday, nobody can bake you a cake. If you've broken your leg and are at home and are hungry, if you don't tell someone, then the casserole is not going to arrive at the door. Okay? You see, a part of sharing ministry together is sharing our vulnerabilities. And in so doing, gives others a chance to minister to us. It's through our vulnerability we actually help to strengthen this community. Jumping Mouse could not have seen the mountaintop if he didn't have the help of Frog or the wings of the eagle. Frog was just being Frog, doing froggy things, jumping up and down by simply being himself. And serving his fellow creature, he was able to be the gift that Jumping Mouse needed to continue his adventure. So we come back to adventure as I close. That pilgrim adventure that we have embarked on, where all of us are needed, every hand, every heart, every body is needed to share our ministry, to walk together in love toward a vision yet to unfold. I look forward deeply to that journey with you. So be it.